Welcome everybody to the Locked On Lakers podcast. It is Thanksgiving. By the time most of you guys are listening to this, it'll be Thanksgiving. The Lakers, though, just finished barely beating the Cleveland Cavaliers. If there was a single word that I could use to describe it, it would be colonoscopy. It would...
Jesus, man. What would it be if they'd lost the game?
Colonoscopy without pain meds. It was not pretty. It was nothing about that game that I enjoyed watching, except for the result, which is kind of sort of fitting because that's going to be kind of a theme to a lot of what we're going to be talking about. You heard Pete there. Pete has been a little under the weather, and then because of the weird schedule, because of the holiday, we jumbled up, and like we haven't talked much after games really this year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's nice to do this the night of while the juices are still flowing.
Yeah. So all of that has come together, and what we're going to do, there are a couple points that we're going to generally hit on. I spent a lot of time last show talking about the rotation and how I would go about building the rotation, given the amount of information that we have at this point. So if you didn't listen to that, go back and check that out. I'm going to run some of those principles by Pete. Pete said that he wants to talk about something that he thinks is really kind of that he can think of something that would just completely kind of set this entire roster free, right? It would just help it reach the next kind of tier. And I completely agree with him on that. So he'll bring that up as the show goes along. And then at the very end, because it is Thanksgiving and because both Pete and I get to do basically live out our dreams, we're gonna give our thanks and stuff. So that'll be in the end of the show. Let's go ahead and jump into this thing though. You guys know where to find us and find the show. The Lakers wind up barely beating the Cleveland Cavaliers. It was one of those games, so like I described it to Harrison, it felt a lot like the Lakers were waiting for the game to start midway through the second quarter. Like it was really weird.
Three nights in Miami. That was the way that they scheduled this. It's interesting because these are not things that I thought of, like is just a fan that didn't cover the team, right?
Yeah.
So the way you can schedule your flight schedule and all that in the NBA, there was some flexibility in it, right? Like where do you choose to spend your time? Mm-hmm. The Lakers got their asses kicked against Orlando, mm-hmm. flew out that night in Miami. There's night one. They have a very good performance, including LeBron dropping 51 on Sunday. Mm-hmm. That's night two.
And then they
stayed another night. They could have flown out after they beat Miami. A lot of teams do this, right? Fly to your next destination, get a couple days there, right? But where would you rather spend a few days? And you know LeBron had some influence in terms of schedule on that too, right? I'm not reporting that. I'm just speculating.
That was the first thing that I jumped to, too. Like LeBron goes to the Lakers and like, yes. Guys, yeah. Come on.
Right. And so, brother, they played... like they spent three nights in Miami as millionaire athletes.
Do you think,
with a lot of time on their hands? That's how they played.
Do you think they sell like 3-day passes at Live?
You get like a little, like you see Kuzma's like right wrist yeah. still stamped.
Oh man. Been
showered since then, right? Just like been like 72 hours straight at Live. Is it called Live?
Is it Live or Live? Live? This is how I'm old. This is how I know I'm old.
I never went to clubs and stuff. So, yeah. But that was. Donna would know. But.
I do remember those weekends where, like, you wake up and you're going to class on Monday morning and you have, like, 37 different stamps. And you're just, man, I'm still a little buzzed.
And now imagine yourself as having millions of dollars and what you could have done with that during that weekend.
Well, there.
It's not to say that, you know, like, yeah, they're professional. They have to get the job done, and they did get the win, right? But yes, they played like they spent three nights in Miami.
Dollar beer night in college was like being a millionaire. I miss those days. But yeah,
the streets will flow with, yeah, go ahead.
Budweiser.
Yes. PBR.
Ooh, you're a hipster.
No, well, that's what you get for a dollar, right?
Yeah. It was a cheap one. I remember when hipsters started telling me that, no, actually, PBR tastes good. I'm like, no, it didn't.
No, we bought that because we were poor.
Yeah.
Like, you know, we're going to get some comments, right? Like, PBR is great. How dare you?
Yeah. So we have a couple minutes here, though, to kind of wrap up the game. And I think this will just kind of plant the seeds of where I'd kind of like the conversation to go. Once again, the Lakers play a lesser opponent. No disrespect to Cleveland, but they are not nearly as good a team as the Lakers are currently, right?
No disrespect to Cleveland.
Well, they were nice. I was happy that they didn't boo LeBron. Like I'm in a giving mood.
You're very magnanimous.
Yeah. It's the day before Thanksgiving.
Oh, that's true.
It's dollar beer night.
Okay, I guess we'll roll with no disrespect to Cleveland then. Yeah. Carry on.
Full disrespect to Cleveland. Those suckers are awful. But the Lakers starting lineup comes out and again just kind of treads water. And this is kind of it's a theme against bad teams where they just kind of tread water. They're a net positive, but only because in large part they're playing a bad team. And against good teams, that team tends to struggle, and then it's up to the bench to kind of dig them out. And as lineups start getting a little bit more jumbled, the lineups start making a little bit more sense. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to tease this, and on the backside of this, I'm going to ask you again, I think this is the third time now I'm asking you, is it time to start thinking about changing up the starting lineup? Hold off, and we'll come back, and we'll talk about it in a bit. Today's show is brought to you in part by Metro Infinity. Check them out at metroinfinity.com. I am here on their website right now. And one thing that they are offering that I cannot stand behind I can't stand by it enough is they're asking you to help them let you get back out onto the road if you have been affected by the fires throughout California. They're offering special employee pricing for those affected by the fires or affected by anything if you qualify. And so give them a call at 626-599-7510. Again, that's 626-599-7510, or go on metroinfinity.com and check out their entire offering of cars, whether it's new or used, whatever you might be looking for. I'm sure they can find something that makes work for you. And if you go there and you check it out there in Monrovia, just off the 210, make sure you tell them that we sent you here at Locked On Lakers, and they'll knock off $500 off of your sale. So again, that's metroinfinity.com. Let them help you get back onto the road, or just find your dream car. That's Metro Infinity. Let them help you. So, is it time to start thinking about changing the starting lineup?
It's been time, but it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
They're 8-2 in the last 10 games, man. And I know your process over results and all that, and I'm not I don't say it with that tone to make fun of it. It's just not how it works in the NBA. Like this is their upcoming schedule right now. We got six of seven at home, which is great. Mm-hmm. But it's Utah, Orlando, who whooped them recently, at Denver, that's the one road game, Indiana, Dallas, Phoenix, San Antonio. So that's eight games. Then at Memphis, home Miami, at Houston. Basically, the next 10 or so are fairly tough. And that's probably going to be the time where we see the results.
Yeah.
Are going to drive the process. I understand where you're coming from, Anthony, that they need to be looking at results or the process over results and finding their best lineups and all of that. I just don't think it's going to happen that way. And you have every right to, if they lose a couple of games because the starting lineup did not play well and it was totally predictable and we had a nice sample of it, you have every right to be upset about that if and when that does happen. The one thing I will say is I think the bigger issue in this game was the bench and that lineup where they try to have Ingram leading the second unit, which is something that we've wanted to see. It looks bad, man. Mm-hmm. And part of that is, you know, I think Ingram and Lance are a clunky fit next to each other.
Very clunky.
And to me, Lance is the obvious guy to take out of the rotation. It feels kind of like a Cinderella thing where he had his hot 5 to 7 games to start the season. And with few exceptions, he's been really bad the last 10 games or so. So, to me, that's like pulling Lance from the rotation is the right thing to do. But with Rondo out, maybe that's difficult in terms of bodies.
I think when it comes to that bench unit, so one of the things that I've been talking about quite a bit has been the mentality that a point guard tends to have and the way that a point guard tends to approach the game. Ingram can step in and be a pretty good point guard when everything around him is set up fairly well. But when you have a guy like Lance that needs to be reined in a lot, like it takes a lot of constant communication with the guy. No, actually, it's not a good play for you to dance around and shoot a mid-range jumper. A point guard is very good at vocalizing that, or at least making it, the way I kind of described it to Harrison the last time we talked was, make it plainly obvious so that the coaching staff sees that and then benches Lance, right? Whereas like Ingram is, does a little bit more of the passive aggressive, like, oh, well, fuck it, go whatever. And then the play doesn't end well. And then they have two or three of those in a row. And then now all of a sudden your opponent is on a run. But I want to get back to the starting group. If we both are in agreement that a change is going to be coming at some point, because I agree that in professional sports it's all results driven and it's a lot to ask of a coach to even though it's almost the exact definition of leadership, but it's a lot to ask a coach to step in and say, okay, yeah, we're going to make this change now, whatever. Which change would you make? Have you come around to Kuzma? Kuzma needs to be the guy who comes out. Should it be Ingram that comes out? What are you thinking?
Yeah, the heart for Kuzma has been what I've wanted to see for a little while. And now, as I've said, I actually like the lineup where Ingram's on the bench. We saw that during the suspension.
Yeah.
That group plays well. Lonzo, Hart, Kuz, LeBron, and JaVale have played really well in a decent sample of minutes. Mm-hmm. I also think that, again, in the spirit of process over results, it would be easy to just go to that lineup and put Ingram to the bench. I'd like to see what it looks like with Josh Hart out there. And even if, like, say, I've heard that LeBron doesn't really want to play the four or the five all that much. He wants to play the three. And he will play the four or five if situations dictate. We saw that in the Cleveland game where they went small down the stretch for large chunks. Mm-hmm. And LeBron was at one of those positions. But he doesn't want to do that all the time. So can you start Josh Hart, who's been playing backup four? Can he absorb those four responsibilities? Yeah. You keep Ingram at the two and Lonzo and LeBron at the three. I think it's worth a shot. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's going to work. I don't think it'll work as well as the one where Ingram's on the bench. But I do think that for the sake of process, knowing the different combos that you can go to, I think that one's worth exploring.
It also helps that Kuzma hasn't been good.
Yeah, the thing about Kuz is if he's not scoring at a high clip, what positive value is he bringing to the table?
He's not a rebounder. He's not obviously not a defender. He doesn't facilitate very well. It makes it a lot easier to make that call than with Kuzma playing the way that he is. I agree with you, and I would build on that point that you made, and I would say that, as we've talked about throughout the season, the Lakers need to figure out what role Ingram is going to play. And actually, you know what? This is a perfect segue into what you were talking about, what you wanted to talk about here. So we're going to take another quick second here. This is a shorter segment so that we have room to go long here on the backside. And Pete's going to make the point that I think is really important to make, and it's something that the Lakers are really lacking. And for those who are interested in Bradley Beal, this is where you kind of have a case to be made, even if it's short-sighted. So what is it, Pete, that you think the Lakers desperately need to figure out? There's a role that needs to be fulfilled that we haven't seen somebody step into yet.
The Lakers are a second or away from a lot of things falling into place. LeBron is the only guy on the team that you can give the ball to and say, hey, go get us a a bucket. Mm-hmm. Go create a play where you can score or you can distribute out of it. People have really, really wanted Brandon to be that guy, but he's not that guy.
Yeah.
He's never been that guy. And yep. last year, his numbers were artificially inflated by being put in that role. And it was something even last year, like the Lakers were a bad offensive team last year. And a big part of that was because Brandon Ingram was the number one option. Mm-hmm. That's not Brandon Ingram's fault in that. Like if it wasn't Ingram, they would have been good. But it's because Inky was even logically the best guy that you put. What are you going to ask? Like Lonzo doesn't have the scoring ability to do that. KCP can barely dribble and chew gum at the same time. Mm-hmm. Like he was the obvious guy to do that. But that put him in a position. I don't know, man. I don't like the way they've developed Brandon, and they pushed him too soon into that role, and now that's how he views himself. And so you don't see a lot of like the little him contributing in the little things, it, you know. So if the Lakers have, if they're able to sign that second guy this summer, a lot of other things start making sense. However, that pushes Brandon to third or so on the, you know, at best. Mm-hmm. Like I want to see him getting good at the off-ball stuff, you know, he before this game, and I don't think he had one in this game, 2 field goal attempts all season on cuts. 2.
That's insane. When you have when you have 2 passers, you play with, well, 3 passers, as talented as Rondo, LeBron, and Lonzo, scoring on 2 cuts is pretty... It's like that meme. It's the Anchorman thing. I'm almost impressed.
Yeah, like, I think Kuzma was at 32. In terms of the number of attempts he's had off of those, yeah. right? But watch Ingram off the ball. Watch him. Like, he is posting up in give me the ball places.
Yeah.
And that there's a time and place for that. They had a switch against Colin Sexton in the Cleveland game, and he had a nice, like, fadeaway jumper over him that he created good separation. It was a good shot. That has its time and place from time to time. But... I want to see him good at the other stuff, like that don't require having the ball in your hands. If Kuzma is able to get 32 attempts off of cuts, why is Ingram at 2? Because he's not trying for that. That's not where his mentality is at. And so them trying to force Ingram into being that I'm the second scorer type of guy, and they've put that in his head last year, I'll be disappointed if he doesn't score 20 a game. It's not who he is, and it never was who he was.
Yeah.
It was artificially inflated by getting the amount of touches that he got last year that he produced at a very inefficient rate on those touches. In the, people confuse like field goal percentage with efficiency. If you look down at the breakdown of his number, he's like 80% as, you know, 80th percentile in transition, really good as a cutter, but in the ISO pick and roll type of situations, really, really poor numbers. And that was reflected by the tape. It's just not who he is. And I don't know. Like, I feel like they're going to keep banging their heads against the same wall, and that's frustrating.
It is. I typed out and deleted 3 different times tonight a tweet where the basis of the tweet was, I can't stand watching Ingram play offense. It's really frustrating to watch him play offense. He just, the way he approaches the game offensively. Now he had a stretch there where he had a few nice passes, and overall I thought he was pretty good facilitating the game against Cleveland last night. But for the most part, I don't like the way that he approaches the game. He doesn't use his first step. As you talked about, like we spend a lot of time talking about the spots that this coaching staff have put Ingram into, and we've put a lot of the blame and the onus on the coaching staff. That number is so low for a combination of the two things, right? Like it'd be one thing if it was kind of a middling number, if he was in the teens or whatever, maybe it was just like a bad habit. Although I guess that door swings both ways, right? If he was higher, then you could say that he was going out of his way to try to find it. But we've talked a lot about like the posture that he stands around out there with offensively. If he isn't used in the play, it's very obvious, right? And it's kind of a bummer to watch that kind of take place. And again, this is where the Lakers kind of have to figure out, A, what do they think they have with the guy? B, what what do they need from the guy, and C, how do we get him from point A to point B, right? How do we figure out how to make this guy, turn this guy into the role that makes sense for him and also fulfills a need on the team? Do you see that kind of process taking place with him?
No, they've been on the wrong path with him for years.
Yeah.
Like, this is the rotten fruit of the tree.
Yeah.
Like, they have not worked on the things, like, I talk about Kawhi Leonard and his development arc. Obviously, different context where he was joining a championship contender as a young player, but he got good at the I'm playing off of different guys type of stuff. Mm-hmm. And then he added to his skill set, and by year four, year five, after becoming a great spot up shooter, which he was not when he was in college, he developed into that. He developed into that great off ball type player who could run off of screens, who could cut, always a great defender, even all the way back to college. And then he added, oh, he's got some ball handling ability. He's got some triple threat moves. He can isolate and hit a pull up jumper. Lakers skipped all those steps in between and went to the, we're going to clear out a side for you and you should pull up mid-range jumpers that are contested.
With those 6 seconds left on the shot clock.
Bro, those are the best player in the NBA type shots. Like, the best players in the NBA.
Yeah.
There's 15, maybe 20 guys in the league who, like, yeah, they take that shot. It's still a good shot.
I don't know if
they
that number's
steps
that
in between.
I don't know if that number's that high.
It might not be.
I don't. You're saying 15 or 20. I'm thinking, maybe 10, really, because those guys who can get that kind of shot, who I feel comfortable taking that shot, are capable of getting better shots, right? so it's tough. I'm going to hold off on giving this take because it's a hot one, and we're going into a holiday weekend, and I don't want to.
No. Huh? I'm not letting you off the hook on that. I'm not letting you off the hook on that. Let it out. Huh. You want to. I see your face.
I do.
Let it fly, baby. I'll be thankful for it tomorrow.
The Lakers have developed Brandon Ingram like a general basketball player that they're getting ready to trade anyway. Get good at just look like a decent basketball player where there are decent, like, there's a foundation of a decent basketball player where another organization can develop you. We're going to turn you into Anthony Davis anyway.
I mean, if you were the Pelicans.
Oh, I wouldn't. I'd be nervous as hell. I mean, especially considering what other teams have to offer. But I'm just saying, like, that's how it feels like the Lakers have developed a lot of their guys. Really, if you look at, here's a trend. It's actually a trend at this point. Jordan Clarkson, impressive first year, plateaued like crazy. Now, part of that had to do with he was an older guy or whatever, but he stopped at his development, right? He was impressive, and then he stopped living up to expectations. Kyle Kuzma seems to be on a lot of that same trajectory, where he looked impressive as all hell, and then now he's just kind of sort of plateaued, and we got to see what his shot turning around would actually look like. Brandon Ingram here is in that same kind of spot where he was bad his rookie season. He showed a lot of promise his second year, and now he's failing to live up to the expectation that came with playing decently in his second year. And like, at some point, we can look at the play, and their onus does go to some of these players, but at some point, you got to look at the organization and say, what do they have in common here?
Yeah. Lakers are also 8-2 in their last 10.
Yeah, we should finish on a high note. We should finish on a high note. Although it's nice that you get to play the Eastern Conference, but
10-7, 3 games above 500 for the first time since Kobe tore his Achilles.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah,
that's pretty cool. Let's do this. So we're gonna finish here with the funniest things that we saw from the game, and then I'll go first because I always put you on the spot with this stuff. There was a play where Tyson Chandler went up. It was about in the third quarter or so. He goes up to slap the ball out to everybody. Somebody was kind of holding his left shoulder, though, and as he went to slap it, instead of slapping, you know, because he kind of slaps it up usually and it gets back to half court, well, because his shoulder gets kind of pulled down a little bit, the ball goes straight down, basically. And the person that was pulling his shoulder was either Larry Nance Jr. or Kyle Korver or Chetty Osmond. It was one of those guys that kind of looked like that. And the ball goes whap, right in the right into the guy's face. The guy didn't make it down to the other end for the offensive possession, and it was incredible.
I didn't catch that. All right,
it was incredible. I rewound it. I made sure, and you would think that rewinding it, I would catch the guy's face whose face it hit. But that was a nice way of like Tyson Chandler to feel like he got like fouled, because you know sometimes if somebody gets bumped out of bounds, as they're leaning out, they're looking for a place to throw it off of, you know? And then if they're really frustrated, they really let that ball rip.
Fly, yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah.
It looked a lot like that from Chandler, who was just like, oh, you're not going to call it? All right, fine. Whap! And it was just tremendous dodgeball throw.
I'll have to watch for that on the rewatch. I did not catch that. But those are little ways of extracting revenge in the moment that especially veterans learn how to, like, gosh, there's so many dirty, like stepping on a rebounder's foot, for example.
Yeah.
Like when they're going, shot goes up. Like that's one of the dirty tricks is you step on them and they can't jump. Right. And,
or what you'll see sometimes is where they're kind of battling, and because everybody's so jumbled up, the really good veterans are really good at putting their elbow without like sticking it out. They'll put it barely off to the side here, and the person who's jumping next to him hits their hip on their elbow, sure, on the way up. That's a good Chandler's tremendous, yeah, at that one. He's really good at that.
Jersey grabs down by the waist because it doesn't look as severe as if you grab higher. Yeah, no, all those, I enjoy those things. For me, the funniest thing was Jordan Clarkson PTSD. So he got hot in the fourth.
Yep.
And that dude can score, right?
Yes.
But absolutely. Like he hit a couple of threes in a row, and I was just like, yeah, here it comes. And sure enough, man, the next one was just woo, like,
wild layup.
wild layup followed by like a fading to his right pull up jumper, and it was like, yeah, I don't miss that.
Did you happen to, were you watching Twitter with the game on this one?
I wasn't out this one, so I did not tweet all that much.
So it was great to watch that take place live on Twitter as well as in the game, because on Twitter, all of Lakers Twitter was like, oh, now you become efficient. That's nice of you, Clarkson. And then like the people who really watched Clarkson kind of sat back a little bit, played the hand, and then Clarkson shot that one layup that didn't draw iron at all, and the people who sat back were like, we knew it, we saw that one coming.
Yeah.
Clarkson giveth, Clarkson taketh away. All right, let's finish on this. We'll continue with this high note. It is Thanksgiving, and I'm sure you have people, this entire environment that you want to thank. So I'll give you the stage.
Just, I mean, what I'm thankful for is like Laker fans and listeners and, you know, people who watch my stuff, like just giving me an entirely new life. This is like my third career. Like I'm 38 now. I started doing this because I was bored and I missed basketball at 35. And, you know, within 2 years, it's what I did for a living. And it's not just the, oh, I can pay my bills with this, that's cool, but just like I never felt the sense of community in my life that I have. And that's with you, it's with Harrison, it's with Darius, it's with like just Lakers Twitter in general, along with fans. And there's just like it's cool to like find your tribe in life, especially later on in life, and going on, you know, my third career. Just, I'm just very grateful for that. My life has changed forever because of this, and I'm just so thankful to everyone for that.
I echo all of that. I want to especially hammer home the point of it's been really cool, I guess, quote unquote, making it in this industry and watching the show grow from an accident to where it is now, where, you know, my wife is a doctor, and for a long time, I both she and I just kind of we thought forever it was going to be, all right, Jen, you're going to carry us financially, and then I'll help around the house as best I can, and to be able to actually help out financially, that means something as well. And then but the thing that I find the coolest My favorite aspect of all of this is that as this show has grown and as my career has grown, Pete, your career has grown, Harrison is, in my opinion, the most valuable dude in the blogosphere.
Yeah, he's incredible at what he does. Yeah.
He's and watching him grow. I remember when Harrison and I would stay up. This was about four-ish years ago. We would stay up, and we had just finished back then. Now, SB Nation has been incredible with us. They want to make sure that our workloads are a lot more realistic. Back then, it wasn't the case so much, and we would finish writing our eighth post or something. Like Harrison would be on his 17th, and I'd be on my eighth or whatever, and we would just kind of look at it. We would send a message, and we would say, God, One day we'll make it, and we'll kind of look back and we'll laugh on that. We'll look back on what it took to get here, and we'll really laugh about that. And I didn't think it was going to happen this fast. I'm thankful for LeBron.
I was going to bring that up. Yeah,
I'm very thankful for LeBron, but to watch Harrison's career, your career, Jacob Rude, and Christian killing it over there at Lonzo Wire as well, it's been cool because of the show's success. I've been able to take a step back in writing and allow Christian to take on a bigger role at Silver Screen and Roll. These are the things that it was really important as this career took shape. I wanted to enjoy the success. Success is best enjoyed when shared. And the best decision I made when Harrison said he had to step away was to bring you on, and it's been an incredible ride since that conversation. I'm thankful for everybody. Jen, I'm thankful for you. Jeannie, I'm thankful for you dealing with Pete after he, I'm sure, vents to you about conversing with me twice a week. It's my mom, like dad, all you guys. I really appreciate that. It's this is going to be my favorite Thanksgiving of all time because I don't have to work at all. It's going to be great. So Pete, and this is I'm speaking directly to you, bud. Thank you very much. This has been amazing. This has been great.
Thank you for the opportunity, man.
All right, that'll do it then. Oh, Pete said it earlier, but you guys listening, last but absolutely not least, you should have been first.
What a dick.
I'm awful. I'm terrible. God. No wonder you're more popular than me. Lakers Reddit, I want to thank you. but those of you listening, though, I literally, Pete, I, Harrison, none of us could do the stuff that we do without your guys' continued support. So thank you to those of you who continue to subscribe and send in your questions and all of that. This is going to be the last show of the week, I believe. So make sure you guys get your questions into iTunes now. But thank you guys a ton. I cannot believe that this is our lives, dude. I cannot believe it.
Yes, and just the community that's popped up around it. Like it's like dawning of a new era in media, I think.
Yeah.
I really do. Like this, I don't think that the media has ever really connected with fans on a really deep level. I think we have something really special in the whole Lakers sphere. That's doing that in a way that I don't know. It just feels like a step forward.
Absolutely. Could not agree more. Have a great, if you guys are traveling, please do so safely. It's going to be insane traffic if you're out here in the greater LA area. So please drive safely, fly safely, do all of that stuff. Give your family a hug, and I'll be back, and I'll be answering your guys' questions on Monday. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody.